This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here with the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors, and, well, we're just here to on a chilly Groundhog's Day. Is it groundhog or groundhogs? I guess it's groundhog singular because, but there are several of them around the country, right? The most famous being Punxsutawney Phil up there in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. If you've ever been to Punxsutawney, you'll never forget it. Well, you probably will. Been there once and don't remember much about it. But Punxsutawney Phil is the famous prognosticator groundhog. If he sees his shadow, what happens? There's a good quiz question. If the groundhog sees his shadow, what happens? You want to win a couple tickets to the National Outdoor Show? We gave all the tickets away for the Great American Outdoor Show, which starts today in Harrisburg, and you'll be hearing a little bit more about that later on. We've actually interviewed the show manager, and coming up after the first break, we'll play that interview for you for the second segment of the show. But right now it's time to call in at 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. If you'd like to go to the Outdoor Show, the National Outdoor Show in Cambridge, maybe you live on the Eastern Shore, you want to make that trip on the third weekend of February, come on down and see us there. Robin and I will be there with Bucks, Bears, Stags. We'll be with Doug Wigfield measuring hopefully some sick of deer from across the state. Sick of deer from the lower shore, of course, but from four hunters from across the state that might want to come down. We'll be glad to do that for you. We're taking your phone call here at 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Final day of the Canada goose season today. And hopefully, we'll leave them alone for a little bit. After this, I mean, the resident geese will continue to be targeted, but the Atlantic population of migratory geese is over today. And, hey, there's Matthew in Baltimore wants to answer the question. Let's see what Matthew has to say. Good morning, Matthew. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good morning. So what happens if the groundhog sees his shadow?
So if he sees the shadow, it's going to be six more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see it, that means, swings around a corner somewhere.
Given the fact that it's 10 degrees out there this morning, do you think he's A, going to see his shadow, and do you think B, there will be an early spring, Matthew?
I think definitely he's going to see the shadow. Yeah, I got no doubt about it.
So you're going to say winter's going to go till mid March again, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we haven't really had much winter. I mean, we haven't had much snow, let's put it that way. This cold, what are they calling it now? It used to be cold and winter and, now it's got a name and it's a vortex and we've become really, I don't know, weather focused, anymore. Poor people in the Midwest, the record colds and all that. I mean, it used to be cold out there all the time. I mean, I remember, you'd hear the report, Thief River Falls, Minnesota is 51 degrees below zero today with a wind chill, that type of thing. And now it's big, big national news.
Right, but they're talking about 60 degrees on Monday.
Yeah, here, right.
Yes.
It's 10 this morning, 60 on... I don't get it. I'll tell you
so
one thing.
What did I win?
Huh?
So what did I win?
If you'd like, you won two tickets to the National Outdoor Show, which is in South Dorchester County, coming up third weekend of February.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah, definitely.
You'd like to go?
Yes, sir. I put my name on it. Yes.
All right. Well, we'll get Ron to put you on hold. We'll get your address, and we'll send two tickets in the mail to you for that. How's that sound?
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Hey, listen, and when you get down there, make sure you stop by and say hello to me. I'll be in the Bucks, Bear, and Robin. We'll be in the Bucks, Bears, and Stags booth after you come in the door. Yeah, and you know, you can enjoy seafood. You can enjoy muskrat. You can see the World Muskrat Skinning Championship.
Oh, wow.
Down there. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so hang on. We'll get your address there, Matthew.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, you hang on.
All right.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Got him, Ron? Yeah, I think he's got him. We will see. All right. Take a bite of our cracker there. That's good. Wash it down with a little coffee. So, going to be an interesting week. If you're not busy on Thursday, we'd love to have you join us as a hunter and a supporter of hunting in Annapolis. It's Blazing Camo Day, the Hunters Rally in Annapolis on the 7th. What we're going to do is we're going to meet about, 8:30 or so at the Naval Academy Stadium, which is the entrance there is right off Taylor Avenue. You got to go through the gate. I think it's $5 to park or something like that. And just park up there by the plane, and there's a shuttle station right there. We're going to get on the shuttle, and we'll get down to the center of town. Lawyer's Mall is under construction, but just, you know, a few steps from there is the House of Delegates, and that's where the rally's going to be, there in the yard at the House of Delegates. And, you know, we'll meet there. We'll be wearing our orange hats. You can certainly wear your orange hat. Your camo, it's called Blazing Camo Day for a reason. It's a hunter's rally. And when we go, we meet with all kinds of lawmakers. The governor's been there the last several years. Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources has always come out and joined us. We got hunter-friendly lawmakers that stop by. You have a chance to meet your own delegate, your own senator from your own area, and make them know, aware that hunting is important to you. It's part of your lifestyle. Scientific wildlife management is important to you, and you might just have a good time with that, you know, fellowship and friendship with all your fellow hunters. And we know some of the folks that listen to this broadcast will be here, and we'll be enjoying that kind of fellowship, and you know, just kind of talk to each other and share pictures of the past hunting season and get to meet with lawmakers and tell them about how you feel about different laws and different bills that are in the General Assembly this year, and tell them, you know, hey, look, we hunt, we vote, we're registered, we're in your district, and we want you to pay attention to us. That's all that's all about. So you can join us for Blazing Camo Day. Now, if you want more information, if you want a flyer, you can certainly download the flyer on the Maryland Hunting Coalition website, mdhuntingcoalition.org. Newsletter went out for February yesterday. got some news in it, got some events in it. If you're not a member, you need to join. Just go to the same website, mdhuntingcoalition.org. You can see information on our benefit coming up March 23rd in Westminster. Always a good time. 300 folks get together and support hunting, and again, share hunting stories, fellowship with one another, eat good food, and have the opportunity to win a lot of nice prizes, some really good guns and bows and crossbows and things like that. Some optics this year. We got some great binoculars and some other stuff that's, you know, pretty unique. Got a painting the other day, a print, from Chuck Spohr with the PCBA, the Physically Challenged Bow Hunters of America. We're going to auction that off. We're going to share the profits with PCBA and be able to support them a little bit at our event. So we look forward to all that. Our number here is 410-922-6680. We welcome your phone calls and hope to hear from you this hour for sure. That interview, as I mentioned, the show manager of the outdoor show, the Great American Outdoor Show, is coming up after our first set of commercials. So we'll go from that. So, quite an interesting ride this morning. Nah, actually, it was pretty boring. There was no traffic. It was quiet. The roads were very, very passable from Easton to here. I think there were a couple tractor trailers out there, not much traffic, even on Ritchie Highway, even on 10, even on the Beltway. We didn't encounter much, but that's what happens when you leave the shore at 3 o'clock in the morning and get here, try to get here by 4:30, quarter to 5, something like that. So that's good. It's all good. How many of you know what a cormorant is? A cormorant. If you go across the Bay Bridge anytime, you see those birds that are pretty much lined up on the Bay Bridge, you know, roosting on the Bay Bridge, those black birds. Those are cormorants. And sometimes you'll see them, you know, maybe in the evening, you'll see a bunch of them just flying around and fishing and that type of thing. They eat a lot of fish. If you go up to, Conowingo, during the shad run or just about any time, you'll see them up there. They are not a very clean bird. And now, some of the Canadian provinces are actually opening a hunting season up on cormorants. There's some controversy out there about that, but maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. They're not really waterfowl, or maybe they are, maybe they're not. They're fish eaters. They kind of remind me of being, like a merganser. But they're a little more aggressive than a merganser when it comes to eating fish. But, maybe you want to look at that before we go on here in the show and we'll bring up some information about these cormorants. I do know this. I've seen them working on the shad run, on the hickory shad and on the American shad and the herring, up at Conowingo, you know, and they just hundreds of them just stage right there. You know, in the area, and you'll see them out there bobbing around and pulling fish up and just, you know, they're fish eating machines is what they are. Are they detrimental to the environment? Are they detrimental to the young of the year rockfish or any other fish that come in here to the bay to spawn? Not sure. Not sure how much study's been done on them here in Maryland, but, you know, fishermen don't like them and, you know, they can fool you when you're in a duck blind, too. I'll tell you that. Yeah, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Time out now for me to tell you about Bay Country Crabbing Supply in Edgewater. They have everything you need for recreational and commercial crabbing and bay fishing tackle, too. Bay Country Crabbing Supply is located at 214 Mayo Road in Edgewater. Stackable traps, commercial pots, rigged trot lines, trot line parts, live boxes, nets, rope, buoys, stainless steel steamers, and a full line of bay fishing tackle and gear. They have a really nice line of different bay trolling tackle and things like that. You can see Bay Country Crabbing Supply in a couple of weeks at the Pasadena Sport Fishing Show. They'll be there, and we'll tell you more about that. But mark your calendars for April 13th, the open house at Bay Country Crabbing Supply. For more information, you can call Bay Country Crabbing Supply at 410-956-0300. Attention, watermen. All you got to do is take your license in for your discount, baycountrycrabbingsupply.com. Chesapeake Outdoors is located on Dominion Road. Where's Dominion Road? It's exit 39B on Route 50, right across the Bay Bridge on Kent Island. Now look, Chesapeake Outdoors is, you know, they're your waterfowl headquarters, your deer hunting headquarters, your fishing headquarters. They've got everything you could need, want, or imagine. If you're out there today and you're successful on your geese on the last day of goose hunting season for migratory birds, duck season as well, you can, well, ducks are over pretty much, but you can get your waterfowl picked and geese picked right there on site at Chesapeake Outdoors. Just drop them off, browse a little bit, you know, maybe go to lunch, come back, get your geese, pick up your geese, and well, when you're there, if you decide to browse around, you can see all the firearms and ammunition, you can see the muzzle loaders, you can see the crossbows by Raven and Excalibur and 10 point, you can pick up a nice Matthews bow, take a look at that, see the Rambo bikes, maybe investigate the huge selection of Costa sunglasses and Yeti coolers, bags, and tumblers. Pick up a new tumbler for your coffee. Check out the Bubba Blade knives. And maybe you want to pick up, you know, some more waterfowl stuff, decoys and steel shot and gear and camo, and even check out the tree stand on sale. All this at Chesapeake Outdoors. Oh, by the way, they're getting ready for fishing season, too. Huge selection of fishing tackle. So, Chesapeake Outdoors. Exit 39B, Dominion Road, Route 50 East, You'll be glad you did. Phone number 410-604-2500.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
We know it's hard to see everything the Great American Outdoor Show has to offer in just one day. So take advantage of our ticket specials. Our afternoon ticket. Good Monday, February 4th through Thursday, February 7th gets you in anytime after 3 p.m. for just $8. Then bounce back on Sunday, February 10th for free. Bring your ticket stub from any previous day of the 2019 Great American Outdoor Show and get in for free. Explore the world's largest outdoor show at GreatAmericanOutdoorShow.org. Limit one ticket per person.
Well, when I was a kid, I'd take a trip every summer down to Mississippi, visit my granny and her antebellum work.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, I stuffed him down in an old shoebox and punched a couple holes in the top. When Sunday came, I snuck him in the church. I was sitting way back in the very last pew, showing him to my good buddy Hugh. When that squirrel got loose, went totally berserk. What happened next is hard to tell. Some thought it was heaven, some thought it was hell. But the fact that something was among us was plain to see. As the choir sang, I surrender all, a squirrel ran up Harv Newland's coveralls. And Harv leaped to his feet and said, something's got a hold on me. Yeah! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church, in a sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting.
All right, let's talk to, we got Matt there in Pasadena, wants to talk about goose hunting. Then we got Broadwater in Annapolis, and then we got Jennifer in Timonium. Good morning there, Matt. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Our snow goose hunting trip got canceled this morning, so heading down to my dad's to give it one last shot with the darkies, you know?
Yeah, so the snow geese didn't, they didn't do what they were supposed to do yesterday, and they moved after you put them to bed, huh?
Yes, sir.
How do I know that? Been there, done that. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
So. Yeah, it's all right.
Yep. Well, you got a long season on those snow geese with that, conservation season running into mid-March, right?
Yeah.
Or beyond.
March, yep.
Yep. So, well, cool. Well, good luck today.
Yep.
Good luck today. And, you know, I didn't see a lot of geese on the shore this year. There were pockets of them, of course, and more came in that bit nasty weather this past week. But, you know.
Yeah, we got a good little bunch, like, right on Oak Creek.
Yeah.
That's, the main bunch we've been hunting.
I got it. Well, you enjoy that today, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, because next year you know it's different, 30 days and one goose.
I know.
Yeah. So, well, let us know Let us know when you get that snow goose hunt set up again.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Alan.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. All right. We've got, hi, Jennifer. We got Broadwater in Annapolis. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm well. What's up?
You mentioned a proposed cormorant season.
Yeah, this is up in Canada. This is up in Ontario.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I hope they approve that, because what we have around here in cormorants is just a shadow of what they are on Lake Ontario. I fish Lake Ontario, western end, most of the, the entire month of May and usually the first 2 weeks of June. So I'm up there about 6 weeks with my boat, salmon fishing and stuff. And it's, from where I fish the New York side, but it's only 27 miles across the lake, from where I'm at to Toronto Harbor.
Right.
And there's a roosting area right in Toronto Harbor for cormorants.
Yes.
I can take you in there and show you 50,000 of them roosting.
No doubt. No doubt. It's absolutely amazing what they've got up there going. I mean, we've got them here in Maryland. Not to that degree, I don't believe, but, I've complained about cormorants for years, and it's like, hey, look.
So have I. Do you remember when some hunters up in New York took it upon their own to go out to, up in Lake Ontario and shot about 3,000 or 4,000 of them?
No, I do not remember that.
Yeah, no. Anyway, it was illegal, and
sure.
The DNR, put out leads and stuff, and they finally tracked the people down that did it. And,
right.
Obviously, they wrote them up tickets and everything,
sure.
But the conservation officers told them privately, hey, you guys did a good thing.
Oh, yeah, no question.
But those cormorants have virtually eliminated the smallmouth bass fishing on the Ontario side up around Hamilton Harbor. It used to be we were going there and catch easily 100 smallmouth a day.
Right.
And you go up there now, you're lucky if you can catch 5 a day. The only difference is if you catch 5 a day smallmouth, they're all going to be probably between 4 and 7 pounds.
Right.
So those are too big for the cormorants to eat.
Yep.
But they virtually eliminated the smallmouth bass fishing in western Lake Ontario.
Very informative.
And where I fish in the spring of the year for salmon and stuff, when the alewives are running up the streams and stuff,
yes,
it's just the cormorants. You almost can't get the boat through them.
They're also a very clean bird.
Excuse me?
They're also a very clean bird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no.
I think those things were probably, if I'm not mistaken, were imported into this country from China, because they say that the Chinese used to use them with a string tied on their leg to catch fish for them.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Well, yeah. Here's what this article is from Toronto is talking about. It says, if you visit their largest North American nesting ground in Toronto's Tommy Thompson Park, you'll realize that cormorants aren't the prettiest bird, and they're definitely not the cleanest. The air smells like fish from their vomit, and in the past, their acidic feces has killed thousands of the park trees. In the last few years, the birds have spread across the province, their colonies multiplying by the thousands on shoreline. Landowners have complained about the destruction of vegetation, and fishermen blame the birds' diet for hurting their livelihoods. Now the province is considering controlling the double-crested cormorant by creating a hunting season for it. If approved, the policy would allow a hunter to kill up to 50 birds a day with no limit on the number they could kill during a season. In theory, if the hunters meet their daily quota every day during the proposed hunting season from March 15th to December 31st, they could each kill around 14,000 birds a year. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think guys are going to be able to even kill 30 or 40 a day or 20 a day. But you know what? Something has to be done.
Absolutely. I hope they, it doesn't seem like they can do anything under the Federal Migratory Act anymore and
right.
stuff about getting rid of those things. But I would certainly hope that they go ahead and consider killing a lot of them off, because, they really are detrimental to the fish. And I'm convinced that they have contributed to the decline in the rockfish here in the Chesapeake Bay. As a matter of fact, I live right on the Chesapeake Bay. I'm actually a little bit northeast of Annapolis. If I look out my front window, you know, when it's daylight, if I look to the left, I'm looking at Baltimore Light. If I look at the right, you know, I'm looking at Sandy Point Light.
Right. Wow. Nice place to live. Absolutely. Well, there's a gazillion of them at the Bay Bridge, and there's a gazillion of them up at Conowingo and elsewhere. So, you know, you might be right. Our spawning grounds here might be affected by some of these birds. You never know. I'm pretty sure they're very detrimental to the recovery of the American shad and the hickory shad as well.
They concentrate. In any place that there's a concentration of fish, it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, shad or alewives or probably even yellow perch and white perch or whatever, especially if they are stream spawners and they go up in the stream. Those cormorants get off the mouth of the stream and actually go up, you know, of course there's not really a tide line on Lake Ontario, but
right.
You know, they go up the stream as far as they can get. I've seen them in the harbor up there where I keep my boat up there and stuff. So thick, like I said, that you almost couldn't get the boat down the stream to, you know, go out to through the pierheads out into the lake and stuff.
Right.
And you know, and I mean, when it's daylight, they do from daylight till dark is dive and feed. They are constantly feeding on fish.
Yes, that's they're a machine. They are absolutely a machine. So,
all right.
Listen, I appreciate that. Drop me an email sometime, Robin, and I'll come up and go salmon fishing with you. I love that. I love that early season light line trolling for lake trout.
Oh well, boy, I'll tell you what. With what lake on, with what New York has done with the lake trout up there stuff right now, most of the people up there, you know, the residents and the charter captains that I know up there and stuff, they hate the lake trout. They wish. But that's all that the feds will stock.
Right.
They don't stock anything that's not native to the lake.
Right.
So they don't stock any of the Pacific salmons. That's all New York State that does that. But up there right now,
cohos, kings, lake trout.
Yep, the lake trout up there now.
Steelhead.
In the spring of the year, it's easy to catch your limit of lake trout up to 20 or 25 pounds right now, where you used to have to fly up into some remote outback lakes up in Canada and stuff.
Well, let's go. Let's go.
Anyway.
He's not taking the bait. He's not taking the bait, is he?
Anyway, like I said, I may drop you an email. You know, if you got some time, hey, and in the 6 weeks, May and the first couple weeks in June and stuff, because usually after the first couple weeks in June, the salmon have moved, you know, considerably further east
right.
on Lake Ontario. But sometimes the month of May into the first 2 weeks in June, the salmon fishing is fantastic up there in western Lake Ontario.
Beautiful.
Right now. Last year when we were up there and stuff, the whole 6 weeks that we were there, I can only think of about 4 or 5 days out of the 6 weeks that we didn't put a limit of king salmon on the boat every day.
Nice. Rod Rodder, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate you weighing in on all of that. And, we look forward to taking your call from time to time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Jennifer, good morning. How are you, Jennifer?
Well, not nearly as interesting as what he was talking about.
I got to tell you, that guy's got it going on, doesn't he?
Yeah. I was going to mention that the cormorant were all over the Yahtze and the Yellow River in China, and they used to tie a rope on them, and they would fish,
mm-hmm.
and then they were gone. And I thought they were supposed to come over and get some of our cormorant, and I don't know why you don't contact China and sell them to them.
Tariff is too high. It's a trade thing, and it's, you know, it's all about the tariffs. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea why.
The second thing is, I don't know whether you mentioned this, but I went to Orca Island or wherever it was in Washington State years ago.
Yes.
But I don't know whether, remember they used to hit the little pups over the head and turn their fur into coats?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether they're killing the seals or the walrus, but they're eating in the, all the salmon and the fishermen and the orca whales.
No, you're talking about two way different things. You're talking about the fur seals in northern Canada and elsewhere, as opposed to the sea lions, which is an entirely different species. Some people call them seals, but they're sea lions, and they're big animals. They're a couple hundred pounds. And yeah, these sea lions are eating the salmon just as like the cormorants are eating everything else. So,
did you hear about the orcas are starving, and this one orca pushed her dead little baby all the way up from the south?
Yeah.
And came back.
Yeah,
did
I saw that.
Did you hear about that?
Yep, I did. The orca thing is kind of like the polar bears on the ice floe. So just, read everything you read with a grain of salt.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you told me that, because that really bothered me.
Yep.
Last thing, I live on the street that runs parallel with 83
yep.
in Timonium.
I know where you live.
And I was at my desk, which is in the front of the house.
Right.
And there were at least, because I didn't count, 15 deer that came across the road.
They're lucky that they survived that 83 traffic up there, that's for sure.
Well, they don't go near 83, but right in front of my house, there's kind of like where the runoff is.
Yeah.
But what happened is, behind my house, this used to be a big farm.
Yes.
And then there was a hill where the farmhouse was, where they've built houses all up there now. So I don't know where the deer are going and getting food, but they look great. All right, dear. Well, have a wonderful. And I'm going to email you.
Jennifer, please do.
Okay.
Thank you. See ya. Bye-bye. Bill Miles, how are you?
Good morning, sir. I'm fine, thank you.
What's going on? Interesting conversation this morning about fishing on Lake Ontario and the overabundant cormorant in Ontario, where the season proposed is 50 a day. Now, you could burn up some ammo with that.
Yeah, they're definitely a nasty bird.
No question.
No, it was a great, great conversation. I mean, I've never caught a king salmon. I've caught coho in Alaska, but I've never caught a king.
Right, yeah. Well, they're on Lake Ontario. We fished for them years ago, back in the 80s. We caught one king. My dad caught a coho. On another trip, we've caught some brown trout. We've caught some lake trout. And those early lake trout, they fish for them near the surface with trolling lures. And, it's light line. It's 10, 12-pound test line. It's not the heavy stuff that you fish for salmon. And, they still fish the downriggers, but it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
I'd like to do that.
You and I both. Yep. So we're going to have to get a trip to Lake Ontario. We fished
put it together, Alan.
We fished out of Henderson Harbor, Pulaski, up that way. Biggest prime rib I've ever seen on the plate right there in Pulaski, New York. So, yeah, that was great. So, Bill, you're headed out hunting today.
Yeah.
And last day of goose season, but we've got some other endeavors going on in the General Assembly. There are a number of hunting bills in. There are a few local Sunday hunting bills that are proposed by counties. There's kind of a weird bill from Cecil County by the Cecil delegation that runs Sunday hunting and reduction in trapping. And, I mean, it's a really weird bill. I don't know what that's all about exactly or where that was prompted from. We've got a statewide Sunday deer hunting bill and a statewide waterfowl bill that have been proposed. Which one do you want to talk about first? None of them?
Well, the Cecil County bill, I mean, when we have our hunters rally on Thursday, we need to talk with the chairman of that delegation and find out exactly what's going on. I can't really speak to the intent right now without talking to them.
Well, of course.
But the fact that it's the delegation bill gives it a lot of juice that otherwise might not have.
Right. I agree. So,
local bills are tough to deal with because, they've kind of emanate from within the jurisdiction. The General Assembly just kind of signs off on them.
Right.
Is a courtesy, but we really do need to find out what's going on with that bill. I understand the Sunday hunting part, but the trapping part, I just don't get.
Right. There you go. All right. Statewide Sunday hunting for waterfowl?
Well, I mean, with the numbers down with both, you know, in the Atlantic Flyway with the Canada geese, the AP geese, and the mallards, I mean, some might say the timing is terrible for this.
Right.
On the other hand, you know, there is the issue of recruitment for youth.
Right.
The way it's been presented to me by the sponsor is that a lot of these places in Maryland aren't so much about geese as they are ducks.
Right.
And to have Sunday to bring these kids out would be an opportunity that they wouldn't otherwise have because they usually have sports on Saturdays.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's a compelling argument, but Sunday hunting in Annapolis is always controversial.
Controversial, oh. Contentious. And the statewide Sunday deer hunting bill, same sponsor, that's going to be a fight. That's going to be a battle. That's going to be contentious.
Well, I mean, I doubt if all the listeners on your show this morning would probably agree with me. But, you know, and I'm not a deer hunter. I'm pure waterfowl.
Right.
But the guys that I've talked to that are pure deer hunters and not waterfowlers tell me they're not seeing anywhere near the number of deer. This is statewide now.
Right.
That they used to. And then you start looking at the multiple years of liberal bag limits. The fact that these farmers can shoot deer, you know, 7 days a week, and, you know, there's 8,000 of them with 1,500 crop damage permits. That's a lot of guys out shooting.
Yeah, I agree. Well, last night was the opening salvo of the night shooting season.
Yeah,
February 1st through March 31st, farmers who have gotten a agricultural deer cooperator permit, gone through the process, you know, jumped through the hoops and filed their game plans by the 1st of January, notified all their neighbors of when they're going to start shooting and all this stuff, whack them and stack them at night.
Oh,
all across the state.
February, March? Yeah, I mean, what's going on in February, March, Alan?
Well, the bucks are dropping their antlers, which yep. Now makes them antlerless. And, of course, the does were bred, you know, usually the first 2-3 weeks of November, a couple in December, even a couple in January. But a lot of those does are, you know, with a 200-day gestation period. A lot of those does are probably halfway through their pregnancy. So, you know, you shoot one, you kill three.
That's exactly right.
Right.
It was by design. For these 2 months, and I think it's criminal personally. I mean, these farmers, I do get it, but they have 7 days a week with these permits to kill them.
Right.
So look at the pressure being put on this publicly owned resource, okay? I mean, it's just incredible amount of pressure, and a lot of people don't realize, I mean, or maybe they do, all wildlife is a finite resource.
Right.
And we can take them out if given the opportunity. And there's a lot of opportunity to do just that.
If you read the comments on our Facebook page, we have comments on there from landowners and farmers. And their contention is that they feed the state's deer. And if the state were to provide an insurance program to pay them for deer damage, they'd leave them alone.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But they tend to think that this is the state's livestock. This is the mindset that the Maryland deer, white-tailed sika deer, belong to the state of Maryland. They do not. They belong to the citizens of the state of Maryland. And, right. You know, and these guys say, well, you know, if the state wants their deer, you know, they want to feed their deer, then, you know, we're pay us to feed them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean,
it goes back to the public trust doctrine. I mean, it's 1215. I mean, it's just these are publicly owned deer, a publicly owned resource, and, you know, they don't own them. I mean, I get their argument.
Right.
They've been very amenable.
Right.
I mean, they could kill them 7 days a week, and they could have had deer cooperators, which, you know, is a program not even codified in statute. It's arguably borderline legal because it's only through regulation, but that's not been contested. But you throw those individuals out there on these permits, that's one thing.
Right.
Now what they've done is they've expanded it, so now there's going to be who knows how many individuals, in addition to deer cooperators passing these criteria, that are out there shooting deer at night.
Exactly.
I mean, it's criminal, in my opinion.
Well,
my personal opinion, it's criminal.
We have two laws on the books, two pieces of legislation that was passed by the General Assembly that say you're not allowed to shoot deer at night. Am I right?
Oh, you're exactly right.
Okay. But we have regulations that give the Department of Natural Resources broad authority. And these regulations are so broadly written that they can come in and say, hey, we want to authorize deer shooting at night. We can do it, despite what the law says.
No, Alan, it's a section of law.
Section of law, okay.
It's 10-260 of the Natural Resources
Law. Yes, correct, yes. Broad,
which is
broad.
A little provision in the law that gives DNR this broad, broad authority. And if you remember last year when we were trying to stop nighttime shooting of deer, independent of deer cooperators, we weren't after them. We went to the Attorney General and said, how can the statute say no deer hunting and yet come back and allow deer hunting through regulation? And the Attorney General said, well, Section 10-260 is so broad, they can do what they want.
Yep. Amazing, isn't it?
And that's why you have nighttime shooting through regulation.
It's always fun in Annapolis, isn't it, Bill?
Well, it is that, Alan. But you know, eventually, if you think about it, it's more the deer hunters than it is the waterfowlers underwriting wildlife and heritage through license revenues and
no question
license stamps. And you know, these farmers charge a lot of money to deer hunt.
Yep.
And I don't know. I don't think I would want a deer hunt. At least a high-dollar property, when I know they're killing them at night on it, and they kill deer all year round on it. I mean, how many deer can survive all that?
I don't know. Well, that was a provision when we ran into the lobbyists for the Farm Bureau. Part of the provision is that they are seeking these night shooting permits when they've exhausted all other options. Well, they've exhausted all other options by hammering these deer 12 months a year. 365 days a year, including Sundays. No wonder they go nocturnal.
Well, you know, if you can't kill out of 7 days a week, something's wrong with you. I mean, seriously, 7 days a week and you can't figure out a pattern?
I get it, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you corrected me on that regulation and that legislation, that wildlife code thing. That's why we have you as our lobbyist, and that's why the folks need to support the Maryland Hunting Coalition to keep it viable, keep it moving, and keep our finger on the pulse of the General Assembly when it comes to wanting to restrict our hunting.
Well, I appreciate that, Alan.
Yes, sir.
A few people realize that, to be honest.
Well, we do. By the way, Chuck said hi. So, our buddy Chuck.
Brady.
No, the other Chuck. Chuck Spohr.
Good man.
Yep. He said hi on text. So, anyway, listen. I know you're on the road. Just be careful out there. Watch those roads. Or it's cold. It's 10 degrees when I left Easton this morning. I know you're headed down.
It's hunting weather, Alan. It's hunting weather.
I got it.
It's hunting weather.
All right, buddy. Well, we got to roll.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. See you, Bill.
Bye now.
Hey, we'll see you Thursday in Annapolis.
And I hope some of your listeners join us.
Blazing Camo Day.
Naval Academy parking lot.
Parking lot. Not the Naval Academy. The stadium. Naval Stadium parking lot. Yep.
Sure, yeah, the Naval Academy's parking lot, and then we ride the shuttle over to the State House.
Right. At the stadium parking lot. Off Taylor Avenue. All right, buddy. See you there.
Bye, Alan.
We'll talk. Good luck today.
Thanks, sir.
Bye-bye. There he goes. All right. Hey, that was good. That was a good, good segment there for sure. Clyde Sports Shop. You know, hunting season, other than shooting deer at night, is pretty much over. A couple days of waterfowl. And, you know, maybe your waterfowl gun wasn't what you wanted it to be. Maybe next year, you know, hey, I'm going to have only have 30 days on the Canada geese. I might want to extend my season with snow geese. Might want to extend my season with some, you know, some resident geese. I might want to consider some duck hunting next year, but I want to upgrade my gun. Well, I think the A5 from Browning at Clyde Sport Shop is the way to do that. The most reliable, fastest cycling, best balanced and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. Comes in mossy oak, shadow grass, blades, camo if you want that. Fiber optic front sight, a humpback receiver. It's ergonomically balanced, recoil-operated, kinematic drive, autoloader, shotgun, 100,000 rounder, 5-year guarantee. If you like pump shotgun, there's a BPS. If you like a big, big cannon, the Gold Light 10-gauge. If you like a different auto loader with a good feel, with a power gas drive system, reduced recoil, the Maxxis. All these are available at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, your full-line Browning dealer. 242-6108 is Clyde Sports Shop's phone number. And you know, look, Browning is the best there is. Check out all the Browning shotguns. All the Browning firearms at Clyde Sports Shop. All right, time for me to tell you about Bay Country Crabbing Supply. Bay Country Crabbing Supply in Edgewater. They have everything you need for recreational commercial crabbing and bay fishing tackle, too. Bay Country Crabbing Supply is located at 214 Mayo Road in Edgewater. Stackable traps, commercial pots, rigged trot lines, trot line parts, live boxes, nets, ropes, buoys, stainless steel steamers, and a full line of bay fishing tackle and gear. See Bay Country Crabbing Supply coming up in 2 weeks at the Pasadena Sport Fishing Show. They'll be set up right there. But mark your calendars for April 13th, the open house at Bay Country Crabbing Supply. For more information, give them a call. Bay Country Crabbing Supply, 410-956-0300. Hey, Waterman, take in your license for your discount to Bay Country Crabbing Supply, baycountrycrabbingsupply.com.
The Great American Outdoor Show, February 2nd through the 10th at the PA Farm Show Complex in Harrisburg. Over 1,100 outdoor exhibitors, more than 200 seminars from outdoor pros, nearly 400 hunting and fishing outfitters, interactive events and entertainment for the whole family. It's 650,000 square feet of guns, hunting, fishing, and archery at the world's largest outdoor show. Tickets on sale now at GreatAmericanOutdoorShow.org, February 2nd through the 10th in Harrisburg.
It's time for the National Outdoor Show, coming up February 22nd and 23rd at the South Dorchester School, 3485 Golden Hill Road in Church Creek, Maryland. Just $8 for adults and $4 for kids to get in. This is the home of the World Muskrat Skinning Championship. You're now in muskrat country, the heartland of sportsmen, trappers, watermen, and wildlife. Proud to show you the best that comes from our boot-sucking marshes and the flowing water that surrounds them. Most of all, we hope to share the unique spirit and character of our hardworking people who keep one foot in a technologically savvy world and the other stuck deep in our traditional old school ways. A weekend of shopping, you can eat seafood and muskrat, see contests like the Muskrat Skinning Championship of the World. Remember, visit the National Outdoor Show, February 22nd, 23rd in Dorchester County, nationaloutdoorshow.org. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse
near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
They're starving in Spain. There's hurricanes in Florida. And Texas needs rain. The whole world is festering with unhappy souls. The French hate the Germans hate the Poles. Italians hate Yugoslavs, South Africans hate the Dutch. And I don't like anybody very much. But we shall be thankful and tranquil and proud. For man's been endowed with a mushroom-shaped cloud. And we know for certain that some lovely day someone will set the spark off and we will all be blown away.
How nice. Yes, how nice. All right. Anybody want to win tickets to the National Outdoor Show in Cambridge coming up the third weekend in February? You're certainly welcome to call in and name the artist for that little ditty. Yes, name the artist if you'd like to win. We'd love to give you some tickets. How about that? You can email, too, or you can text. Well, there's the music. Hey, it was a wonderful hour. We talked about cormorants. We talked about salmon fishing. We talked about legislation. We talked with Bill Miles, our advocate from Merrill Hunting Coalition. We talked about Blazing Camo Day coming up this Thursday, February 7th in Annapolis. MDHuntingCoalition.org if you want to check that out. Talk a little bit about our benefit coming up March 23rd, but not much. A lot of stuff going on there. Talked about Sunday hunting. Talked about, what else we talk about, Ron? You don't know. Don't matter. You got too much to do. So there's the music. We'll be back right after the news, and we'll bring you that interview the next hour. Maybe we'll start out right after the top of the hour with that interview and then take some calls a little later. Okay? All right, folks. You got to leave us. Get out. Stay out. Stay safe.